of what's right and what's wrong. And so that's one of the problems in the world today. We don't really have a standard of what's really right and what is really wrong. And there's only one standard that's valid, and that's God's standard. Now, our laws in this country, when they were first initiated, were based on the Bible. That's where most of our laws came from. And over the years, we've watered them down and mollycoddled them and shifted them around to suit our own human idea and human opinions of what's right and what's wrong. I accept the Bible as the only standard of what's right and what's wrong. And the Proverbs are about that. It's about what's right and what's wrong. So we had gotten over to Proverbs 11:1. And the Proverbs are written in the time frame back in the time of King Solomon, which followed David. So they're back somewhere between 800, well, around 900 to 1,000 B.C. And so to know what they're talking about, you sort of need to understand the culture at that time. And then after you understand the culture and what the particular thing they're talking about is, then you apply it to the life at that time and to the life today as we know it. Well, it says a false balance is abomination to the Lord. Well, a false balance was something that a merchant, a businessman, a trader, carried around with him. And they weren't supposed to be false. A true balance had two scales on either side. And they could be held up. And both sides were supposed to weigh exactly the same. There wasn't supposed to be any tricky mechanism or any missing of links in the chains or adjustments so one side would weigh more than the other. And like all other instruments that were devised in human trading, there was naturally in the human nature an inclination to cheat people. Now, back then and back now, and now at the present time, there are people in the world today, and I've run into them in my years on this planet, that just love to cheat other people. They just love to do it. It's called conning. And they con people. And they think if they can con people, that it's a way of showing that they're smarter than the average bear, and that the people they conned are not nearly as smart as they are. So they don't look at having a false balance and making one side of the scale in favor of them and making sure that they put the items on there such that they may make on something that was weighed, depending on the natural value of it. If it were gold, maybe, they might make $10 on a single weight of gold put in there. And they, after it's all over, they don't have any remorse about it. As a matter of fact, they feel really good about it. They think, I got one over on him. They conned him. And it's a good feeling that people have. And I've been around people like that. I've lived among people like that. And in the Arab world, and I hate to say this, but sometimes in the Jewish world, they're not nearly as bad about it. But the Arabs are also bad about that. They think if they can cheat you with a false balance and a false scale, that they have really done something good. And quite frankly, they don't understand it. When you get all irritated about it, when you find out about it, because it's just a con. It's just a game they play. Well, that's an abomination to the Lord. Why is it abomination? I mean, you know, if you just go in a store and steal something, that's bad. That's a sin. But they don't usually classify that in the Bible as an abomination. You steal food to feed your family, that's a sin. But it's not usually counted as an abomination. Why is it an abomination to the Lord to have a false balance? Because you enjoy doing it. And after you do it, and you've cheated a person, you feel good about it because I got them. I got them good. And you can watch this on television, and you watch all these guys that pull these con jobs on people, and you find yourself kind of rooting for them toward the end because you think, man, that went all slick. They got that old boy good. They conned him. And it's the feeling good about it that God looks upon as a sin. So if you've got a particular sin in your life that is a sin according to the Bible, and yet you enjoy it, because you get the best of somebody else because of it, then, friend, that's an abomination to the Lord. You're enjoying it is what the real sin is. But a just weight is His delight. When you have a just weight, it means you're not cheating anybody. And I'll just tell you something that's no secret, but quite frankly, it's awfully hard for me to accept, and it's awfully hard for some of you to accept, maybe all of us. If you actually tilted the weight a little bit in favor of the other person, that really pleases God. You say, well, now the Bible doesn't say that. Yes, it does. You say, well, God doesn't expect that of us. Well, not really, but He sure would be pleased about it if you did. If you thought more of benefiting another person than yourself, that's godly. And if you tilted the scales a little bit in His favor, in your favor, God would smile on that. You say, no, God doesn't like for us to put up with that. Well, you're the ones doing it. And you're actually doing it, and the other person never knows it. I remember when I was a postman. I was carrying a mail so I could go through seminary. We had all the kids, and we had a hard time making ends meet. And I'd be walking across the lawn, you know, and it would be starting to rain and raining. And there was a paper out in the yard. So I would throw that paper up on the porch. And I would think, what a good boy am I. He stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, what a good boy am I. I thought, this is really nice of me. And would I like for them to have known how nice I was for throwing that up there? Would I like for them to have seen me do it? Why, sure. Now, suppose I just did it because I didn't want the paper to get wet. And I just did it because that's the right thing to do. That's what God wants. God wants you to do it, not so men will praise you or give you compliments or think you're a good old boy from Yale County. Just do it because it's right. You say, well, I don't get any pleasure out of that because God's the only one knows it. He's going to be the only one sitting up there at the judgment seat. When you come up before Him, wouldn't you want Him to know it rather than the people that lived in the house? A lot of people get their reward right here. Quite frankly, some preachers get their reward right here. They get so many compliments on their preaching that it fuels them and fires them, and they stay in the ministry because everybody thinks they're so good at what they do. If you don't do it for God and want God to be pleased with what you're doing, if you try to please men, you're going to get so far off in the left field, you won't be pleasing God. Luke 6:35-38. Now, remember what I was telling you about doing good to other people? Kind of hurting yourself when you do it a little bit? Do I do this? No. Have I ever done it? Yeah. You say, well, tell us about it. No, if I told you about it, I did it for the wrong reason. But believe it or not, this would really please God. I don't expect any of you all to do it, but this would really please God. He might really be, no, you can't surprise God, but I think if you ever could surprise God, this might surprise God if we did this. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Do you understand the other day now? Was I a fool? Most people would think so. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. When you can do something for someone, just because you believe it's what God wants you to do, and they may be unthankful, and they may be evil, and you may be criticized because you were such a fool to do it. God doesn't think so. That's hard to do. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. We practice discipline in this church. We do. But we are merciful. And we take our time. And sometimes we take a very long time. But we do practice discipline. And no one in this church takes the Lord's Supper during a period of time when we, by some standards of other churches, might be amiss in not having taken immediate action. Well, I'm the one who'll have to stand before the judgment seat, because I'll be the one that led you not to do it and to wait and to wait and to wait. So don't worry about you getting creamed because you wanted it or thought it should be different. I'm the one who'll have to take the blame, because I am your pastor and I am the leader of this church. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, shall it be measured to you again. Why are you so afraid of being taken advantage of? Why am I so afraid of being taken advantage of? Why do we feel betrayed and unloved when somebody takes advantage of us? I mean, we just can't stand it. But God says, but a just weight is his delight. Well, he tells us, make sure it's a fair weight. But in other places, he tells us that go ahead and lend. And don't do it for profit, or hoping that you'll get it back. And don't do it because you think the person will come to you and just get out and say, you're such a wonderful person. Thank you, Leonard. Thank you, Tom, for my billfold. Don't do that. I appreciate Kenneth doing it. But we didn't do that for Kenneth because we wanted him to thank us all the time. We just wanted him to be so indebted he'd have to, right, Leonard? So we don't practice this. I just preach it. But, you know, that is something that we do need to do. Now, you say, well, what about God? How does he do with that? I mean, he's got some scales up there. I know. Proverbs 16:11. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. This guy would carry around this fellow who was a trader, a merchant, a dealer, would carry around this little balance with him. Then he'd carry some other little things in there that he could set up, put this little balance on it. And he had a little bag. And in it he had weights. And he would set up the little balance, carry it around in this bag he had. I suppose it was a cloth bag, or probably an animal skin bag. And he had the little weights in there, and he had the little scale and a little stand and everything. Now, God has one too. And Proverbs 16:11, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. Well, he's got a just weight and a balance. All the weights of the bag are his work. He made them. Well, does that mean that God's got a little 5-pound weight here? And according to the Mercator scale, which they keep over in England, it's exactly, precisely 5 grams, not 1 millimeter over. Is that the way it works? Are they so precise that when God says 5 ounces over here, 5 ounces over here, it's a perfect match? I rather tend to doubt it. You say, well, you just don't give God much credit. I give God a lot more credit than most people do in this. Romans 3:25-29. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, all the sins of your past life, your present life, and your future life, all the sins of the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and those who yet are to be born before the Lord comes. All of those sins were remitted and God gave you His righteousness. And over here on this side of the balance was a big fat goose egg that didn't weigh anything. Your righteousness and your goodness. And on the other side was the blood and the righteousness and the love and the mercy of God, which outweighed the entire universe. His weights are tilted in your favor, and they're tilted in my favor, and they're the work of God to declare at this time His righteousness. You think that if He sold you something, if He gave you something, and He used His bag, the things that were in it, to measure them, you think He'd be a just God? You think He'd be justified in what He did? That He might be just, and the juster of him which believeth in Jesus. How do you weigh belief? It has no weight. But the Lord's blood had weight. His body had weight. It was the weight of eternal life. And your sins were placed, the full weight of them, and mine, on Him, in the balance. God's balance is different from ours. Human balances tend to favor us. Well, it tends to favor the one who's doing the weighing. But God's balance favors the one that He's giving it to. And it's His. He has the weights in His bag, and His balance, and His justice. I'm thankful God's that way. So, what's the purpose of these proverbs? If God dealt with you and I that way, and He gave us an example of how He weighed our lives and our future in the balance, and how heavily weighted it was in our favor, we need to give other people the benefit of the doubt, and we need to weigh things in their favor and not in our own. It's the most difficult thing a man or woman has to do in life. And I'm your pastor, and for me to stand up here and tell you that I put my interest below yours. No. But sometimes I try. And I think all of us need to try. And we need to be fair and just in our treatment of other people. In our bag of weights, we need to have mercy. And mercy needs to outweigh the consideration of the jot and tittle of the law. And so does grace. And it greatly outweighs the law. The law was a heavy burden. It was weighted against us. And in the balance of the law, here was something that weighed 10 jillion pounds. And here we were over here with our little old bitty, no ability at all to lift it. And Christ had to lift it all by Himself. And that's the weight balance that God applied to us. And He tells us, why don't you try to do that to other people? Now, I was told when I grew up, if you fool me once, shame on me. If you fool me twice, shame on me. That makes a lot of sense. I've heard it all my life. I've been fooled twice, Leonard. Twice. By the same person. Well, what am I going to do the next time? Well, I've already got my mind made up what I'm going to do. But I did the last time, Leonard. If I do the same thing again, Leonard, who have I harmed? Others? Myself? It depends. But the same God who put that in there is my God. And I'm just going to wait and see which way He leads me. I don't like to be fooled. I don't like it. But there are times that you have to understand that God works in strange and mysterious ways. And sometimes, in the midst of something I've prayed about, I just realize that's not what God wants. when Michael was thrown in jail. I was the epitome of cruelty. I told the girls and my wife, no, leave him in there. You say, how hard and how cruel. We had bent over backwards and given him every opportunity. And time again, we had weighed it in his favor. And each time, God inside me said, well, spank him, give him a good lecture, get him out. But God decides the time when it's time to take action. And he'll let you know. You say, how do you know that? Because God is the one who watches your balances. And when God wants you to do something and you're trying to do right, and that's what these Proverbs teach, you're trying to do right, you'll know. You'll know when it's time to do what's right. And I knew. Probably wouldn't be telling you this story if it hadn't worked out. But it changed Michael's life. God knows when it's time to say, okay, now you're going to have to pay the full consequences for your actions. I don't know when that time is, but God does. And I know that God leads me, and I know that I'm his child, and I know that God is more interested in the correct raising of my children than I am. And so God will let me know when it's time. And in the thing I've been talking about, Leonard, he'll let me know. And I'll know when it's time. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Oh my. What kind of scale has he got? It applies to everybody, both Jew and Gentile. Well, we're going to come to Proverbs 11 and 2. We got one proverb coming. We're going to talk about pride next Sunday night, Lord willing. So we'll come to Proverbs 11 and 2. We got 11 1. We didn't get very far. But I'm going to...